Hi, this is Carl Brooks from SearchCloudComputing.com with the second part of our podcast with Jeff Kaplan of Think Strategies. Jeff, when talking about the economics of cloud computing, who would you say is going to see value from using these services?
Well, it's actually been demonstrated that companies of all sizes and shapes and in various stages of their evolution can see value. So obviously, startups are a key target and the most obvious example. SMBs, if you look at them in a more general sense, can also take advantage of these resources because they have an opportunity to see the benefit here. But mostly, the real surprises come in another category, which is the enterprise. Most people felt that both software as a service and now cloud computing would not sell well into the enterprise, and the enterprise has proven them wrong. The enterprises have found that there are, first of all, tremendous opportunities for them to take advantage of SaaS, and now they're increasingly looking at cloud computing as well, initially as a test bed for new apps, a place where they can more economically pilot new ideas, in part because it's the perfect fit, and also in part because they're still kicking the tires, so to speak, to determine whether or not these cloud computing vendors can really scale to meet their ongoing productivity or production needs. But then they're also looking to find ways in which they can offload, or what we call out-task, ongoing pieces of their operation to these cloud computing environments to take advantage of them for other reasons. For instance, there may be business cycle reasons where they need to scale up their operations periodically but don't want to make the permanent investment in additional hardware and software that locks them in to a capital investment that they don't necessarily need throughout the year.
Someone doing a seasonal promotion or who covers a sporting event, something like that?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's really much different about that than going with, say, a more traditional managed hosting or, a hosted services model where you can simply, if you don't need something for January, you can unorder it or turn it off?
Well, it is about that agility, and it is about the level of on demand that we're talking about here, but you've hit on something that's very important. Again, what we're really talking about here when we talk about the infrastructure as a service aspects of cloud computing is that it is a natural extension of that managed hosting service we've become so familiar with and comfortable with. But even in those cases, they tended to be best suited for more static environments. And what we're now talking about is technology evolving to the point that it really can address the most dynamic of circumstances to not only allow you to acquire the computing power instantaneously, but again, to decommission it rapidly as well, and maybe in an unplanned fashion. That is, let's say I'm doing a project, I don't know how long that duration is, and even a one-month contract may be too long for me. I may buy it by the hour or by the day, and maybe pay a little bit more for that privilege, but may not have to pay for as many hours or days as I would if I bought it for the full month.
Now, people often say that cloud is partly defined, one by the on-demand capacity, and as you stop using it, you stop paying for it, but also by the self-service model. Is that also?
Absolutely, yeah. So the fact of the matter is, from a vendor point of view, it's imperative that they make the provisioning process as frictionless as possible, because we really are talking about the commoditization of computing power, and therefore they can't put a lot of sales and support resources to bear in supporting customers in either provisioning them or decommissioning them. And therefore, they're doing all they can to provide self-provisioning tools that permit the customers to do it themselves.
Now, it seems like they're the attractiveness of being able to get computing power right away is obvious, and the ability to do it in a very piecemeal fashion it seems really great for some things, but it's obviously not going to be suited for everybody. If you have really large amounts of data, you might not want to be transferring it up to Amazon and then having to transfer it back, and it might not be cost effective. Is there a really sort of ideal use or an ideal project that you could?
Well, it's hard to say what the ideal is, but a lot of it does have to do with the stage of life of cloud computing, as I indicated before, there is some questions about not only the ongoing reliability, but also the economics, the scaling of the economics long-term in some of these situations. So it is akin to, renting versus buying in the real estate marketplace. If you rent for too long, then you offset the benefits of that when you could have gotten tax breaks, so to speak, and other discounts from purchasing, and obviously also the added equity involved. However, in the proper circumstance of let's say, a fluctuating business cycle, a test bed situation, or still even a production environment where making your own investment just doesn't make sense when the payback from the particular application isn't sufficient for you to invest not only the hardware and software, but the people time involved. Those are all circumstances where it pays to take a good look at what cloud computing alternatives might offer.
Now, you mentioned, renting versus buying. There's, nothing really depreciates like computer hardware does. It's, today's computer is tomorrow's obsolete doorstop.
Exactly.
So is, will it ever make sense? I mean, does it, if you need to have the computers on premise for bandwidth reasons, that's one thing, but for straight up computing needs, will cloud computing simply, eventually replace what people currently do in terms of buying and installing computer infrastructure?
To a large extent, I think it will. I think to a much greater extent than most people give it credit. I do think we're seeing the fruition of Nicholas Carr's key question. Does IT really matter? In the sense that it's not so much the technology that makes a difference, but how you utilize that technology. And it can be a commoditized technology, like CRM in the case of Salesforce.com. But the way in which your people take advantage of that resource to better compete for customer satisfaction, for instance, right? So the same thing holds true in cloud computing. The key, however, is here that there is a differentiating quality that you can create because, again, to a certain extent, cloud computing is, in fact, a series or set of raw materials that each user, whether they be a vendor or a enterprise, can cobble together to meet their individual requirements. And as a result, not only is it about the skills of those users, but it's about the third parties that they bring in, the new generation of integrators that are arising, who help organizations integrate those resources and optimize their performance to meet their customer or corporate objectives.
Nick Carr wrote The Big Switch, which was a book about the changes that you're talking about, how
That's
people
right.
are going to consume different types of communication resources.
That's exactly right. So he makes the analogy that we're looking at computing power the same way we looked at electrical power a century ago.
Mm-hmm. Could you expand on that analogy a little bit for our listeners?
Well, yeah, I'd be happy to. The short story here is back in the day of the discovery of electricity, most organizations, most companies, basically had to build their own electrical power plants in order to power their operations. That's why so many of them were built in mills alongside waterworks that ended up powering those operations. Over time, with the innovation of the electrical industry into a shared resource, the need to have your own power plant obviously disappeared, with the exception of having certain backup requirements depending upon your needs.
Mm-hmm.
That same idea is now becoming a reality in certain segments of the business community who are recognizing that IT is a resource that isn't necessarily a differentiator, and therefore they can take advantage of third-party services for that power, so to speak, and focus in on their core competencies that truly differentiate them.
So the idea being that this is the beginning of a period where computing power simply becomes ubiquitous and generalized and easy enough to consume without having to make an investment or have an expertise in, actually building or running a computer, that it will simply become, as electricity does, a sort of a grid of resource to be used.
Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, there's another aspect of this. If I am an established company that has made a tremendous investment in IT And even if that IT is working all right for me today, although I don't know of too many organizations who could say that they are totally satisfied with the way in which their IT operations work, but let's say it's working okay, that doesn't necessarily give me the competitive advantage it used to give me, because now anybody can access Amazon and get some computing power, can obtain a myriad of enterprise apps on a pay-as-you-go basis called software as a service, can combine all of that with on-demand resources. You know, for instance, today we even have things called Rent-A-Coder, and there are a number of ways in which they can actually get to market faster, easier, and more economically, and become a competitive threat to established firms. So the barriers to entry that are created by cloud computing are enormous. The way in which those barriers to entry are being knocked down by cloud computing are enormous.
Right. So someone can get up and running with technology that they otherwise couldn't have bought if they wanted to, can get up and running on very little money, very little time, very little initial investment, and that makes that's going to make everyone sit up and take notice of. You can start something that looks like a multi-million-dollar business with a laptop and a credit card.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up for now. It's been a great talk so far. Thanks very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for giving us a call and being interested in our perspective.
Absolutely.